Well, if you would, want to read a little bit of scripture for you tonight. We're going to look at the message of Peter, and I've got a charge for you as we go forward this week. And if you would, if you'll stand this evening, as the pastor has us doing here recently, but in the book of Acts, the fifth chapter, I'm going to read just a few verses here, the 12th verse through the 20th verse. And the writer recorded it, said, and by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all in one accord in Solomon's porch. And the rest durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. And believers were more added to the Lord, multitudes of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets. They laid them on beds and couches, that there at the least of the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. And there were also a multitude of the cities around about Jerusalem, bringing sick folks, and them that were vexed with unclean spirits, they were healed every one. And then the high priest arose up, and all that were with him, which is a sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled with indignation. And they laid their hands on the apostles and put them in common prison. But the angel of the Lord, by night, opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, and this is our thought for tonight, go, stand, and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. And Brother Coulter, would you open for us in prayer, please?
Lord Jesus, God in heaven, I thank you, Lord, for another opportunity to be in your house.
Yes, Lord.
God in heaven, we got to be
yes, Lord.
Ahead of us, Lord. We'll give you glory all week long.
Yes, Lord.
Go to the burial, Lord, and here at home, Lord, at the camp meeting. And I ask you, Lord, that you be here in a big way. That your Holy Ghost will start here tonight, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Amen. You might be seated. And if I were going to title this message tonight, I would call it Speaking Life and Speaking Jesus. Now, this was a time when the early church was just being founded. Christ had returned to heaven. The Holy Spirit had been given to the world. And after the day of Pentecost, Peter and the other disciples began to preach, and they began to change the world that was around them. And we see here that Peter had become a problem to the religious leaders of that day, just as Christ would. They took him, they placed him in jail, and once again they told him that he was not to speak the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, for 2,000 years, the world around us has been trying to silence the name of the great Savior. For 2,000 years, they have tried to stop the presentation of the gospel of a Christ who saves and loves, who gives new birth and who gives new life, and one who stands closer to us than even a brother can. And on this day, they had put Peter and some of the other disciples in prison, and they told him he could preach no more. But the Lord himself appeared through an angel. An angel came from the Lord and commanded Peter that he would go and he would stand and speak in the temple to all the people the words of this life. Now I begin to think about associations that we make in the Word of God. We think about Moses and the great man that he was and how the Lord used him in a time of deliverance. We think about Joshua and how the Lord used him to conquer the land of Canaan and to give that to the nation of Israel. We think about men like David, who was a warrior. We think about Paul, the great apostle who gave us the epistles and most of the New Testament. And I think when we begin to look at Peter, if we think really hard about it, we can associate Peter with some of the important things in life. Peter was the disciple who got out of the boat in faith and followed Christ and began to walk upon the water while his faith held and then began to sink. We think about Peter who followed the Lord Jesus afar off and was called out for that as Christ was led to the crucifixion. But I think very often, if we think carefully, we can associate Peter with words. There were many things that Peter said when no one else spoke up. Sometimes they weren't always the right words, but Peter was one that expressed himself. And some of the good things that Peter said in association with words, he was the one that preached after the Holy Spirit had been given upon the day of Pentecost. He was the one who brought the message at the gate called Beautiful to the lame man who was asking for alms. He was the one who set many exaltations in the Scripture, and the one who preached and was such a blessing to so many. So we see Peter's words for good. Now, we also know that Peter was the one in more difficult times who denied the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the one who was in opposition at one point to Paul. And we begin to think about how Peter in these words began to define him, who he was. And I would ask you this evening, how do you see your own life? How do you see your speech? How do we see ourselves when it comes to doing what the Lord had told Peter to do, to go and to stand and to bring the words of life to all the people? Now, I want to offer you just a couple of simple thoughts tonight. Peter was given the commandment to speak. I want you to think about how understandable and how actionable that is. Every one of us here tonight has the ability to say something of great value for the Lord Jesus Christ in the world around us. That's the truth. It was funny, Brother Brian was talking about he couldn't remember where he placed his pen. You know, Brother Brian, you get a few more years going, you won't remember why you needed the pen when you find it. We get older and we get weaker. That's the nature of life as we go. But you know, there's one thing that doesn't change, which is our ability to speak. In fact, as we get older, our words ought to get better. Our vocabulary ought to get stronger when it comes to presenting the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. The experiences that we have as we go through life, they become more real, they become more shareable with people. And this commandment of go and stand and speak is something that not only can we understand, but it's actionable. It's something that we can do every day as we come into contact with people. I appreciate the C3 ministry, and I appreciate those who went yesterday. And we had less than 20. Sometimes we'll have more. But listen, I thank God for everyone that will come out and take time to knock on a door and invite someone to church and ask them if they know the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going and speaking. We're doing the things that Peter himself was exalted to do. I think about the words that we use in our day-to-day life as we present ourselves to the world around us. Are they words that help? Are they words that harm? Are they words that build? Are they words that destroy? And are those words focused towards the Lord Jesus Christ? You see, Peter went to his very grave. It's interesting, I was reading in the book of 2 Peter, the last recorded words, as it were, of Peter. And even as he began to pass from this life into life eternal, the words that he had written, probably very late in his life, were exalting words, words that lifted up, words that were helpful. I wonder how many of us will go to our grave being remembered for the things that were helpful to the cause of Christ. We have been called and we've been commanded to speak the word of the Lord. And we begin to think about the message of Christ in the world around us. We see a day that really I've not seen in my lifetime when people are so sensitized that it seems like people just don't want to hear the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. People would be offended sometimes, Brother Wayne, by the things that we tell them and the goodness of God. But I can tell you the devil has been trying to silence the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for over 2,000 years and has failed each and every step of the way. As long as there is a life here upon this earth, there'll be someone who is interested in the things of Christ and someone who could be a messenger. And we begin to think about the importance not only of speaking, but the content of that message. I think about how Peter, just in this one simple chapter, there was a lot of it that was given to Peter and the people he began to interact with. And wow, what a diversity of messages that he had to share with the people that were around him. You begin to think about our own testimony, about how God has worked in our life. And we begin to think about how good it is to be able to share the Word of God with those that are particularly lost in the world around us. It was a couple of weeks ago, Cindy received a phone call from a lady who was in our church. This lady and her husband particularly were always very helpful to us. They were very faithful in the church. They were always praying for us. And a lot of times, as a bivocational pastor, as I was out on the road, this man would know I was some far place. He would call me, Brother Ralph, late in the day, you know, when he knew I was traveling home, just to encourage me. This family was a great blessing. And this woman called Cindy a couple of weeks ago, and she told her, she said, I want you to pray for me. They've discovered this mass that is, in my esophagus, and they're going to have to do this test, and it looks like it could be a difficult situation, and they just don't know what they're going to do. And the lady had been a smoker, I guess, all of her life, and she was concerned for the worst. And Pastor, we began to pray for her. We got a phone call this week that on the day that they went in and did that, she said she woke up and she was being shook by the doctor who had performed the thing and the procedure. And the doctor woke this nice lady up and woke her up and said, "I've never been so anxious to wake someone up from the anesthesia. We went down and we could not find the mass that appeared. It was completely gone." Now, why did I say all that? Because I can tell you that God is good all the time. He gives us plenty of things that we can talk about to the world around us today. If we would just take the effort to consider the content that He gives us in the world around us today, what a great presentation of Christ and His goodness and His love and the gospel message that we have to the world that are around us today. Now, Peter, he spoke to several different people, as it's captured in the book of Acts, the 5th chapter. But I want us to look at a statement that was made in the 28th verse. We didn't read this, but the Bible tells us that after he was taken to prison, the angel came and released him from prison. He began to preach in the temple. He began to present the gospel. He was then taken again before the high court and the high priest, the Sanhedrin court. And look at verse 28. We're talking about the content of what we have to say for the cause of Christ. These people had previously warned Peter, saying, "Stop preaching the gospel." And in the 28th verse, we see Peter, see him speaking, and they said, "Did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us." Folks, I tell you what, we live in a world today where God has given us so much content to be able to talk about the idea of all the things contained in the Word of God. I was talking with Logan, not my Logan, but our Logan here at the church, the young man, and I said, "What are you reading this from the Bible?" He said, "Steve, my favorite chapter is the book of Genesis." You think about how much God has given us to talk with people, Pastor, about creation, about the things that God has set in order. And Peter talked about these things. He talked about the covenant. He talked about deliverance that God had brought, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sins through the sacrifice upon the cross of Calvary. And when we look at people and we begin to speak to them, God has given us the content to have a meaningful conversation. The Lord Jesus Christ in the book of Luke, the 21st chapter, the 33rd verse said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words, they shall not pass away." We have something important to talk with people about. We can talk with them about a Christ who loves them, about a Savior who died for them, about a home that's been prepared on the other side of this life in eternity called heaven, about the beautiful and the significance of that place. God has given us a doctrine that we can share and a message of love that the world needs to hear out there. The third thing I would tell you this evening is we have a commandment to speak. We've got an importance to get the content that God has given us. And the third thing I would tell you is the clarity of the words that we use. I want you to think about the Bible words that we use here within the church. We talk about the salvation that comes only through the Lord Jesus Christ. We talk about a unique place called heaven, a desperately wicked, terrible place called hell. We talk about forgiveness of our sins. We talk about the grace, the unmerited favor of God that's been bestowed upon His children. We talk about the idea of eternity, the concept of a forever destiny that cannot be measured. We think about these words, and I think it's important to say this evening that in the world around us today, liberal theology has stolen our words. They have stolen the ideology that God has given us through the Word of God. They've taken these words that Christ gave us that were so important to Him, and they have changed the meaning of these words to suit a liberal agenda. If that word offends you, then I don't know, we'll have to disagree on that. But I can tell you that for the church, for the New Testament, for the believers in Christ, we must understand and be clear upon the scriptural references that God has given us to speak. Isn't it amazing that when Peter, this fisherman who was rough and who was robust and who was given to excitement, he was given to action before he always thought, particularly in his early years of walking with Christ. This was the man that when he was called on later upon in life, he preached the message of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he quoted an authority that cannot be questioned. He went back to the source of the Word of God Himself, which is Christ Jesus. Do you think it's amazing that in the world around us today, we've come up with a place where we have so many churches and we have so many people and we have so many who don't want to use the Word of God? Cindy and I had the privilege of traveling last week with Chloe, and we went to a church. It was probably half this size, and congregation. You don't know what you're really going to find, Pastor. You look them up online before you get there, and you know, try to make a discernment about it. But we went in, and it was amazing. And I had the chance to tell the pastor on the way out how much we appreciated the clarity of the gospel message that was brought. They told us while we were there, and they sent a message. Sent a letter to us a little later on saying that the ministry of that church, because of their location in Atlantic Beach, was to visitors. They said, we're an older congregation, but we get this flood of visitors that come in each week. And they had chosen as a congregation to present the clarity of the gospel message, not just for their people, but for the people that may come in from the outside that they'll only see once in their entire lifetime. But you know, folks, there's nothing that goes wrong with quoting Scripture. We need to understand, we need to know, we need to memorize parts of the Bible, amen, so that we can come back and quote the clear authority of the Word of God. I heard a message, and I mentioned this previously, and it was maybe 2 months ago I was traveling, and I heard a message, and it was talking about the content of the Scripture, and that there is a requirement from God Himself that we believe the Scripture, even if we don't always understand the Scripture. I don't know how it is that a God who had no beginning and has no end could speak and things that were not began to appear. I can't understand that. I can't explain that, you understand? But I can believe it. I can believe it because of what I've seen Him do in my life. Because of what I've seen Him do in other lives. I look around at this church, I look at other places I've been, and I've seen God take a wretched sinner, someone who was lost and desperate and wicked and had no peace within, and give their life to the Lord Jesus Christ, and that person becomes new in all things. Folks, I'm telling you, we've got something to talk about when we talk to the world about the Lord Jesus. We can speak life when we speak about Christ Himself. Is it any wonder that as He finished His work upon the cross of Calvary and He uttered the words, it is finished, that there's nothing to add, only things for us to share. And I thank God that we've got a Savior today who's worth talking about. He is good and kind and loving and forgiving and powerful and considerate and involved with us and interested and all of these other adjectives and superlatives that we might want to use. And when we begin to speak to the world around us today, we can speak to Him about Him in these words that the world should understand. And we need to understand what we're saying as we do that. We simply must know the Bible. The fourth thing I would tell you this evening is the commandment to speak, the importance of the content, the clarity in saying what we mean and meaning what we say. And the fourth thing is God is going to bring us into contact with recipients of that message that are going to differ greatly. The pastor I got saved under many, many years ago was a giant of a man. Coulter, you would have been small beside of him, buddy. Sorry. Coulter's a big, strong guy. This guy was bigger and stronger. And he was a giant of a man. And he talked about the story about when he first got saved. He had grown up in the backwoods of South Carolina, very, 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 very rough background. He was a gambler and he was a person who was wicked in about any way that you could describe it. But Pastor, he told me about getting saved. He preached this often. And he said after he got saved, not too long after that, he was called to preach. And someone came and he was called to preach. He began to preach. And someone came to him after a time and said, this particular person that you used to run with when you were lost has died. Would you take care of their funeral? First funeral he ever did. And he told the story, Brother Wayne, about coming to that. He said that he preached so hard about this man's wickedness and sins that his widow actually fainted under the preaching. Now listen, folks, the pastor did what he felt like he needed to do at that point. But he came back later and said, had I had more experience, had I had more maturity, maybe I would have done that a little bit differently. We need to be recognizing that not everybody we're going to talk to is going to be at the same place in life. Everybody needs the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's a time to be plain and blunt and stand your ground and not back down. And then I think there's a time to be softer, not with the gospel message, but more considerate of the person's condition who's hearing it. And I'm glad to see some heads going up and down. We don't back away from the gospel message. We don't back away from the statements regarding sin. We don't back away from the precepts, the doctrine of the Bible. But sometimes I think we have to consider who it is we're talking to. I want you to look in the fifth chapter, and I want to call out just a few people that Peter spoke to just in this chapter. If you look at the first of the chapter, the Bible tells us there was a man and a woman. The man's name was Ananias, and Sapphira was his wife. And they were guilty of lying to the Holy Ghost. They came to Peter. Peter called them out on it. The Bible tells us that this husband and wife were in agreement. They both chose voluntarily to lie to the Holy Spirit. Peter called them out, and God took them in death at that very moment. Ananias first, and a few hours later, his wife by complicity. And I'm telling you that sometimes people come into the church, people come into your life, and they will be preaching and selling Coulter another gospel. They will try and sell you a bill of goods, and you must stand up to those people with a backbone of steel. There are certain precepts in the Word of God that we cannot back down from ever. I think you're going to see a huge, huge reaction to whatever goes on with the Supreme Court nominee tomorrow. I'm not being political, but I'm telling you there's things that need to be addressed, and people don't want them addressed. Sin is still sin. Wickedness is still wickedness. And that'll never change. And when Peter was presented with this, he did not speak softly to him, Pastor. He called him out for it, and it had to be addressed. God himself took care of it. And the Bible says that the world around witnessed what God did in these people's life. And fear came upon the church. There was respect for the authority of the church. Sometimes what we speak has to be firm, clear. It is the aspect of judgment, not ours, but through the Word of God, the correct interpretation. I want you to go a few verses now, and that's verses 3 and 4. Look at the next group it's recorded that Peter interacted with. In verse 14, it says that, and believers were more added to the Lord, multitudes, both of men and women. The second group that we see that's called out here, those that got saved. Amen. Wasn't it amazing to see what happened when God put that great big tent in that little field, you know, up there in Bristol? And I loved it because they had to have a policeman to come and direct all the traffic, you know, getting in and out. That's always a blessing, right? You usually see that at a football event, amen, or a graduation or what have you. I love it when it has to do with the Word of God. Those people came, and as it's recorded, some 500 plus known professions that came and kneeled in the old-fashioned altar there and asked the Lord to do something about their heart. Many of those, here in the community, several here in this room tonight. And I just appreciate the Lord for the message that was given by Peter, telling people that Jesus saves and he changes lives. Jesus himself, when he preached to the Samaritan woman at the well, was kind and tender, and he changed her life to the point where she ran and told the men that were in the village, come and see a man. Come and see a man that's changed my life. The third group I would have you see is, as we see those who lied to the Holy Spirit at the beginning of the chapter, those that were gotten saved, multitudes. But I want you to look at verse 21. The Bible tells us that for the great deeds that Peter had done, he and others were locked in the prison to the point where the Lord had to send an angel to bring him out. And as soon as he got out, and I love this, and I'm going to touch on this just for a bit. The Bible says in verse 19 that the Lord came by night. He opened the prison doors and told him to go forth, and in verse 20 to go and stand and speak. I like it because in verse 21, the sun has come up, and Peter is in the temple, and Peter is preaching. Now, there ought to be always a certain patience and a searching of the Lord when the Lord calls us and when the Lord asks us to do something. But you know, there ought to be a semblance of response to that too, right? So Peter was called. Peter was given a commission. He went and did what he did. It didn't take him 5.5 years to figure out, well, I need to go to the temple. When the sun came up, the doors had been open. He was there preaching. And the third group I would have you to see is he was in the temple. He was preaching to the religious people and to the worshipers of that day about who Jesus was. I wonder what he told them that day. Did he tell them about the loaves and the fishes and how Jesus had fed the many? Did he tell them about how he was with them when Lazarus was called forth from the tomb and was raised from the dead? Did he tell them about the walking on the water? Did he tell them about how Jesus, with just his voice, calmed the sea and caused the storm to stop raging? What did he tell him? But man, what a story it was. What a message it was to see that the beloved Son of God had been born of a virgin, had been walking among men, that he was crucified upon the cross of Calvary for the sins of all of those who would believe upon him. And in this message, he brought understanding to this third group who was in the temple. We look down to the 29th verse, and we see the Sanhedrin court. We see the high priest, and they have called Peter up, and once again they have demanded that he stop preaching the Lord Jesus Christ. And in verse 29, Peter looked at these. He looked them in the eye, and he says, "Then Peter and the other disciples, they answered, and they said, 'We ought to obey God rather than men.'" And he began to preach to them about the sins and the wickedness they had. He began to preach to them the witness that God himself had against these men and the evilness and the wickedness that they had practiced. And I thank God that he was the voice of our Heavenly Father talking about what they'd done to the beloved Son when he stood to these men. And I just wonder, Pastor, about how many of them were convicted, that they recognized no one had ever lived like the Lord Jesus Christ. No one had ever died upon the cross of like Christ did upon the cross of Calvary. So much so that even the Roman soldiers recognized this man was like no other man. God had shook the earth and had created darkness and the miracles that had come. And I just wonder how many of these men, as Peter witnessed to them, said, you know, he's right. His words are bringing the words of God to our heart. In fact, if we were to read through it, we would see that Gamaliel, the doctor of the law in verse 34, he even stood up for Peter. He stood up for the gospel message, as it were, and said that if this man is wrong, it will come to nothing. But whatever it was, Peter just kept talking. He just kept speaking. He just kept sharing the words of life. He just kept sharing and speaking Jesus. And the fifth group I want you to see is here at the end of the verse, at the end of the chapter, the last two verses. And it says that after the exchange, that they, Peter, the disciples, they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they would be counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Let me stop just for a second. Let me touch on this. I would imagine that most of the people in this room have had some type of an uncomfortable exchange regarding the Lord Jesus Christ. I told you that a couple of years ago, I was in a meeting and you know, nice people. I work with most of them all on a regular basis. There was something on the wall, and it was related to something, and I made a comment. And Pastor, one of the folks that was in the room, they said, "Jesus freak," to me. I said, "No, Jesus super freak." I'll stand by it. I thank God that his Son died upon the cross for my sins. I should have paid for it. It may be uncomfortable sometimes to have people come to you and say, "Wow, you're one of those Jesus followers. You know, how could you believe that stuff, Brother Coulter?" We believe it because it's true. We believe it because it's right. We believe it because we know that it brings peace. Folks, I'm telling you, there is no greater cause. There's no greater truth that you could ever be associated with than the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the last two verses here, it talks about how they departed from the council, that they were that they considered it a privilege. They were rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer the shame for his name, for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 42, it says, and daily in the temple and in every house, look at these words, they ceased not. They ceased not. They ceased not to teach and to preach Jesus Christ. I get a chance every once in a while to travel different places in the world. There's no greater nation upon the face of this earth than the United States. Now, I thank the Lord for the freedom and for the liberty that he's given us. I know that people rebel in the streets, and I know that people are not nice to each other. And if you're a born-again Christian and that's known, it makes people uncomfortable. They will characterize you in a certain way. They will make you uncomfortable in a certain way. We ought to count it all joy to be associated with the name of Christ. And like Peter, we must not cease to preach and to teach and to be the voice of God upon the face of the earth. I thank the Lord for the freedom that we still have and for a few hundred people that are marching in the street that can't take it away from us. Let Christ be Lord. Let his name be glorified. Let all the earth know there is a Savior. And let the word of the gospel go forward. So Peter preached to these different people, as it's counted here in chapter 5. And he had an opportunity for those doors to open. And as I come to a close tonight, I want to give you a charge, as it were. And I want you to turn with me, if you would, to the book of Matthew, the 12th chapter. And we're going to look at the words of the Lord Jesus Christ as we close out this evening. And I want you to think about the opportunities that God gives us to be a witness for him. The book of Matthew, the 12th chapter, just looking at a few verses here, starting in the 34th chapter, we see that the Pharisees, the Sadducees, they had come to the Lord Jesus Christ. They were always in his face. They were always in his way, trying to be a stumbling block and trying to be a hindrance and a nuisance to the Lord Jesus Christ. They were just always, it seemed like in the wrong place bothering Christ. But they'd come to him and they'd made certain claims. They asked him certain questions. And I want you to look at what Jesus had to say about speaking. In the book of Matthew, the 12th chapter, the 34th verse, he spoke this. He said, O generation of vipers, talking to the Pharisees, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? Now here's where our challenge is, church. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account of, therefore one day in the judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Hey, church, every one of us, myself, yourself, we're going to come into an opportunity to be a witness, to be the person that God has called us to be, even maybe sometimes in uncomfortable situations in the week ahead. We talk about the youth camp, we talk about the camp meeting, but we're going to go to places other than those. We're going to be in the grocery store. We're going to be in the workplace. We're going to be in the neighborhood. We're going to be on the phone with relatives. I wonder if we consider the words of God, that out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh, what we ought to be speaking is the words of Christ. What we ought to be speaking ought to build people up. What we ought to be speaking is things that would glorify God. Not always easy to do. But I would ask you this evening, if maybe during the course of the next few days, if you might make a personal intent in your heart, Lord, as it is as I'm before you, if you might make a personal intention that I intend to speak life, and every opportunity I get, I intend to speak Christ. Is that an easy challenge? Well, no offense, it's probably easier for those going on the youth retreat because you're a little separated from the world than it will be the week after. No offense. But you see, God didn't call us to just be here in this house. He didn't call us just to be here at this time of worship. Cindy and I went out yesterday, and And it was, we've kind of figured out after trial and error about how many doors we can knock on, you know, in a couple of hours on a Saturday as we do the C3 program. And Pastor, we went to several houses where the doors were open, the windows were open, you could hear the people inside knock at the door. They won't come to the door. We had a chance to talk with someone who was on the back street. Her house was not too far from Cindy's parents' house. And as I asked the lady if, she went to church and what have you, she said, well, thank you. You know, you ask again, thank you, which means you can leave now. Folks, not everybody's going to be nice to you. But there weren't many that were nice to Christ. We're called to walk in his footsteps. We're actually called to an uncomfortable ministry most of the time. And we don't always sign up for that. We don't think we sign up for that. But the fact of the matter is, as Jesus said here, what's in our heart's going to come out. If you love the Lord, good man, your heart's filled with the treasure of God, I think you're going to bring that forth. James said that the tongue was difficult to, it was unruly, it was difficult to control. But I wonder, if we choose our words well, if we think about the clarity of our message, if we think about the content of our message, if we're recognizing of the recipients, conscious of their situation, if we couldn't be an even better, stronger witness for Christ in the week ahead. I would ask you, if you would, just to join me in prayer just in a minute. We're going to ask the Lord to take what we say this week and make it a blessing to the people that are around us, that we might be an encouragement, not that they would see us, but that they would see the Christ who died for us. Would you pray with me? Lord, we thank you for the privilege to be here this evening. Lord, I thank you for the fact that you've given us great and amazing and powerful and wonderful things that we can talk about. I think, Lord, our vocabulary is so limited when it comes to being able to describe you. But God, I know that we interact with people in the world around us today that they really don't know anything about you. That they've heard fables and they hear, you know, stories on the radio and they hear twisted things and what have you. But man, if they could just get to know the Savior who's presented in the Gospels, who loved people and went to the cross of Calvary to die for their sins, that they might not be lost and enter into a devil's hell. Lord, if they could just get to know that Savior and the kindness and the forgiveness and the love that you have in your heart for each one of us, that would change their life. If they would just accept you as their Savior, it would change their eternity. God, make us a tool, willingly useful unto you. Help us, Lord, to have the right words when the most difficult circumstances come along. Lord, help us to be kind and tender to those who are suffering and those who are brokenhearted. Lord, help us to be tough and to stand in the strength of your word, Lord, in great courage with the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in those times when we need to defend your doctrine and your holy, holy, holy word. Lord, I know that we're not much, but we offer ourselves tonight as people that we want you to be able to work with. Just a few weeks ago, I saw you take a young man, and by his own testimony, he said that he wasn't much. But through the power of the Holy Spirit, his words influenced people that they came and they gave their life to Christ. Lord, help us to do the same, that we might be those messengers in the world around us today, as Peter was some 2,000 years ago, that make the difference for Christ. Lord, these things we ask in your blessed name. Amen.